from heaven that. Now let's hear the word from heaven, John chapter 10. And as we read together sacred scripture, we resolve in this new year to be in the word and to be captivated by the word and to be set free by that word to praise God. John 10. In John 10, we hear in this shepherd chapter that Jesus speak to us great things. And I want to meditate with you upon the great things of John 10, just some of them, in the sermons this day as we begin in this Lord's Day, a new year, and a new and renewed life as a congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. So John 10, let's read the first 27 verses, and I'll be reading a part of this and then more also in the sermon this evening, but this will set us to be hearing and set the setting for us to be hearing what's said here, John 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus is speaking here, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but would be the Jewish leaders primarily, they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling. That is, a hireling is one who's in it for the money. And the hireling does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father." Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. I want to say a comment here about that word division in verse 19. It means literally a schism. And you'll find, and I think this is the third place in John where this is indicated, wherever Jesus speaks, there's division. People believe, other people don't. There's a clear division between those who hear his words and those who do not. That also is the case also in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. There is those who believe and those who do not. So there was a division then, again, among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, "He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And now the allusion is back to chapter 9, where Jesus had opened the eyes of the blind. And now it was the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's as far as I want to read right now. And this will be my text, that last verse. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." In two sermons on this Lord's Day, January 1, 2017, I want us to be reminded and encouraged by the truth of the great shepherd and of his love of us so that we are sheep. And so in these two sermons, I want to say, to declare from heaven a few things with regard to these realities of the good shepherd and the sheep of his pasture. Before that, we have one sermon, really, John chapter 10, perhaps the outstanding New Testament scripture on Jesus as the good shepherd. There are other chapters, in fact, we'll be referring to one, Ezekiel 34, of which Jesus may be alluding even in this chapter, and we'll speak of that. But this one, par excellence, is the truth of the Bible about Jesus the Good Shepherd and about the identity of good sheep. So those two things will be on our mind today, and I pray also that the Good Shepherd and what it is to be a good sheep will be an encouragement and a motivation for us in the year to come. We are, after all, only sheep, but God is a great shepherd, truly good and merciful and kind to us sheep so prone to wander. So I want to consider just this, in this sermon, under the theme, "They Follow Me," this characteristic of the sheep that comes from their being known by the shepherd. I'm going to wrestle with that amazing truth that we are known by the shepherd, and then also be encouraged and exhorted by the Word of God into following, that we would be identified as the true sheep of this shepherd. So "They Follow Me" is the theme of my sermon. And then this idea of the shepherd and his sheep and that relationship. And also then in the second place, you want to consider that following itself and how we ourselves practically can be led into following close by Jesus in this year. And then finally, we consider the blessing, and that will be leading into the subject of the preservation of the saints that we want to consider this evening. Jesus is the one who gives eternal life, and so that the sheep will never perish, nor shall anyone snatch them from his hand. Jesus is identified, he identifies himself here as the shepherd. And the setting is important for us to understand here, won't deal with that much, but he is distinguishing himself in this from the false shepherds of Israel. And in order to do that, he has first identified himself as the door in this chapter, the door of a sheepfold. And children, that was a door of a place where sheep of different shepherds might be kept at night. The door would lead open to this pen for different flocks of the shepherds. It would lead them to different people who would care for them so that the sheep would be cared for in the evening. And then in the morning, perhaps, maybe early morning, the shepherds would come back and call their sheep out, and those sheep, amazingly, would recognize the voice of their shepherd and follow just him out into the pastures where he would lead. So Jesus is alluding to this, and he's drawing a spiritual meaning. Israel is like a fold of God. They are the sheep of God's pasture. This is a biblical truth. Throughout the Bible, it's taught. But there are shepherds who are not worthy of the name shepherd. They're not authorized. And when Jesus says he's the door, he's saying all the good shepherds come into the fold by him. They only have the right to do that if they pass through him, if they pass the muster, as it were, and are authorized as good shepherds by him. But many in Israel, also at that time, are described as thieves and robbers, and all they want to do is fleece the sheep. They're in it for the money. And they would lead God's people not into the kingdom, but they would prevent them from coming into the kingdom, as Jesus says in Matthew 23. There the blind are these leaders, blind shepherds, who would lead the blind sheep, and they would lead them to destruction. So Jesus says he's the door. But then he goes on, and this is what we want to talk about, to speak of himself as more than a door of the sheep. He's the good shepherd of the sheep. And this is an astounding thing. He's saying something, in fact, that would so infuriate the Jews because he's identifying himself with God. And later on he'll say, I and my Father are one, but it's as much that he had said that already when he said, I'm the good shepherd. Because the Jews knew the good shepherd of Israel, well, from Psalm 23, we sang a versification of that. The Lord Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me into green pastures, and I will fear no evil, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Now that is amazing. And either Jesus is a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he is the shepherd, the Lord, Jehovah God, the shepherd of the sheep. In fact, that's what's being taught here. Jesus is God. Jesus is God with the people. God who is with the people in this amazing way as one of the people, as the man, the shepherd Messiah who rises out of the people being born of them, though he be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Here, Jesus is identifying himself in this wonderful way, this tender way, as Emmanuel, Emmanuel shepherd, the carer of the sheep. And so Jesus here is speaking of himself not only as the authority for other under-shepherds to minister to the flock, but as the one who, in fact, is the shepherd of the flock, and a shepherd in every sense of the word, the good shepherd who is perfectly divine and able to care for those needy sheep, and as the good shepherd who's willing to care for these sheep. This is outstanding here in our text as well. Jesus isn't a hireling. He's not in this sheep-keeping business for the money. He doesn't come as one unauthorized and greedy and out to fleece the sheep. No, he's from God, and he's in this for the sake of love. This is amazing. And this is exactly what Jesus says when he says in our text, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I know them. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's not in this for the money. He's in this to love them. He is in the fold and leading the people in and out of the fold, the people of God's own good pleasure, because he knows them. Now, what does that mean? Well, Jesus, when he says, I know them, is basically saying, I know them in a very special way. But here he is speaking of a very special kind of knowledge. It's not just the knowledge that he has of everything. Jesus says God knows everything. And how is that not important to remember going into 2017? Our Savior knows everything. He knows in the communion of the Father, in the communion of the Holy Ghost, in the Trinitarian existence of God, he knows the hair that falls from your head. He knows you're coming in and you're going out. He knows you're rising up. He knows you're laying your head down to rest. He knows your thoughts. He knows the thoughts of others. He knows what may be against you, humanly speaking or devilishly speaking. And he would work all of this for your profit. He knows the hair that's falling from your head not only, but he knows when you're crying out to him and you can't even say the words that you know you'd want to express in your need and your care and your hurt. He knows when your father's in the hospital. He knows when he's coming home. He knows why you can't have children. He knows why you have these children. He knows the need of a flock perfectly. And he knows how weak we all are perfectly. And the beauty of it is it's a knowledge not of just a perception. I get that. I know exactly that. But a knowledge of love and intimacy and care. It's the kind of knowledge that the prophet Amos spoke of, that God has for Israel. You only, he says, of all the people of the earth I know, or I have known. I've known you, Israel. I've loved you. Or as Paul says to Timothy, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Beautiful. God in Jesus is revealed as the God who knows and loves the sheep. Do you know that? Do you know that? God loves you. He knows you with his intimacy of a lover and of the husband of the church and of the shepherd of the sheep. He knows each of you so that he calls you by name. He knows not just the name that your parents gave you, the name on your birth certificate. He knows your identity. He knows your person. He knows you better than earthly husbands, earthly wives, earthly pastors, earthly friends. He's the great shepherd with intimate knowledge of love and care. And as Jesus says here, I am the one who have sheep, and I know them, and I love them, and I care for them. Now that's the shepherd we have here. And then he speaks of this knowledge playing out as his knowledge being such that he has sheep that are his. Do you get that word there that identifies the sheep in the greatest thing that could be said of them? They're his. The first word of our text, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You know, you're not just a sheep if you're God's children. You're Jesus' sheep. That's because Jesus knows you. He's known you before the foundation of the world, and in the communion of the Father, there's been this great counsel to draw you into the fold. He's known you with everlasting love, and with cords of that everlasting love, he's been drawing you and drawing you, and so that you're his. Even before you know it, you're his. My sheep hear my voice, and that makes all the difference for our hearing and our following. We're his. Jesus, in fact, will speak of wonderful truth of the scripture of God's own eternal election when in verse 16 of this text he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. You note here the tense in verse 16, other sheep I have. Jesus is speaking about other sheep that are not yet into the fold. They're not yet believers, but he has them. He has them. And he's speaking specifically of the Gentiles. He has the Jews. He has the Gentiles too. He's got these sheep in his hand. And then they're his not only by this sovereignness. And the great thing about this shepherd that really identifies himself as the shepherd in verse 11 is that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's the kind of shepherd he is. He gives his life, all of his life. He came to this earth. This is what Christmas was all about. Wrapped in swaddling clothes, this babe, to do the will of the Father to save the sheep. And so all of his life, preaching he, teaching he, working miracles, this shepherd, and then dying, because that's what had to be done. The sheep, alas, are sinners, sinful sheep, and they need to have their sins atoned for, and only the good shepherd could do that, to save them from the devil, to save them even from the condemnation of God himself, whose justice has to be satisfied. Jesus will be the good shepherd in doing the will of his Father perfectly, even unto death. So he's the good shepherd. And then in this love, he actually makes them his sheep by calling out to them and saving them and working faith in them. Because look, this shepherd says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He speaks of his voice here. Beautiful word. And the voice is something that makes for sheep in reality, who were that only in the decree of God. The voice of Jesus is his word, his saving and regenerating word, which with the Spirit works life. This is what Jesus is speaking of here. My sheep, they're my sheep. They hear my voice. They hear my voice. And they believe, and they follow me. So Jesus is speaking here of this great reality. He is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. And we are given the ears to hear his voice. You have those ears? 2017. Will it be only that we're known as sheep? Or will it be that we're known as sheep who are Jesus' sheep with ears? That's important. What do you think? That's an important thing for following someone who's speaking and leading by speaking. Ears. The Bible stresses the importance of ears, children. Good ears. I'm not just talking about good hearing. If that were the case, I'd be in trouble. But we're talking about good believing, true believing. That's what good ears are in the Bible, the ears of faith. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. John is given to see and to hear over and over. It makes the difference when the shepherd comes into the flock in general and he's speaking. Do you have ears? Or are you just sheep with deaf ears? Maybe turning away. And like sheep are so prone to do, going astray. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. See, the Pharisees at this time, they weren't hearing his voice. But Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And that's what identifies them as true sheep of God. He knows them. He knows who they are. He comes and calls to them. But his sheep are known for hearing. My sheep hear my voice. They hear him. Isn't that beautiful? And they hear so that they're moved. And they get moving. This is what he says, my sheep are my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They are following me. See, the Pharisees above, in their being divided amongst themselves about how to receive this Jesus, they didn't hear. And they were just into hearing whatever the latest philosophy, whatever could puff them up. But Jesus says, my sheep, or before that, he says to them, you do not believe because you're not of my sheep. But my sheep, they hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So, do you believe? And do I truly believe in this Jesus? And is it known? God knows. But is it known by you and by others? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear, and they trust in me. They know the sound of that voice. They love the sound of that voice of the shepherd. They love that shepherd. He's calling them by name. He's calling them to do this or that, or not to do this or that, and they follow him. They hear that voice, and they're just going to go where he's calling them. And it's a great moment in their life, and it's really every second of their life, they're hearing him, they're hearing him, they're hearing him, not just once. And they're responding and trusting in him and following him. And that's what it's all about. That's what 2017 will be about, believing to follow just Jesus. See, that's about this following, you know. It's just him you follow. There's a lot of cults that gain a following. Wicked men who are following. Wicked women. And they have their voice, and then there's one or two, and they're committed, and they'll die for this leader, and they'll drink the Kool-Aid. And Jesus says, drink of the waters of life and follow me. Lots of other voices, you know. The voices of the Pharisees, the voices of the legalists on the one hand in the church, or the people who are loosey-goosey and all of this stuff. And somewhere in between, he's heard the voice of the Savior, shepherd. And the sheep sort it all out. Faith's able to do that. And they follow just Jesus. Now, how do we follow Jesus? Well, he's not around to see, is he? But he is around to read of in his word. And the mark of a Christian in 2017, may it be, here we read the word of God. And we teach our children to read that. And when they can't read, we read the Bible to them. And so our devotions around our homes, we call them devotions. The times before, after, or both, and our meals, for example, they are reading the Word. They are us reading the Word together. Led by a husband and with his wife, if there's two in the home and it's not broken up by all of the shameful brokenness of this world. But just so that the Word is heard and read, and then talked about, and not quickly closed and left so that the children get the impression it's not that important. We have other things to do, people to see, places to go. Hear the word. It takes time sometimes, doesn't it? Always. Hear, so you think about it, so you're glad for it. And you grow in the knowledge that you're known. See, may 2017 have your pastor less busy with this and that and so on, and more receptive of the Word himself. And may it be for the elders, and may it be for the deacon, and may it be for all who hear, because we're all the sheep together, you know. We hear what the Bible says. And then another thing, of course, because this is what Jesus does. He uses the weakest means of preaching to speak his word to the flock. This is very humbling, but it's true. We need to hear Jesus through hearing him through a man of his appointment, authorization, and qualification. Here is this man right now, and Jesus is speaking Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. Follow me. Faith comes by this hearing of this preaching, this way. Jesus has chosen this means to bless us. So we follow just him. And in light of his word, and that means, of course, you follow this way, on your knees. A lot of people want to run after Jesus. That's good. That's enthusiasm. I mean, run after Jesus. There's a song, Fly to Jesus. I love it. Make haste. But the quickest way to following Jesus, who knows you and you know him, is on your knees in prayer. May we pray in 2017. Really. Privately. In our communion with one another. Prayer is listening to God, and prayer is letting our requests be made known to God. Prayer is how thankfulness is engendered, because the Bible says, in everything, let your request with thanks be made known to God. Not by complaining, but with thanks. So, you follow him that way. There's one thing especially that's important in following Jesus, and we can go on and on about this. It's that we follow this Jesus who's the shepherd. And we know especially two things about him, and I'll probably list more, but this shepherd is also a lion. That's what you got to know of Jesus. Shepherd's a lion, how can it be? Don't shepherds defend from the lions? Well, yeah, they do. But Jesus himself is a lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah, isn't he? That means he's king of all the beasts and of all the devils. And following Jesus, you will not be ashamed, because it's the king of the universe. Got to remember that about this shepherd. Oh, he'll be able to defend you, as we'll see tonight, from every other wild beast and all the devils and sins and temptations. So you can be confident. But then this, and this is so important. Follow this shepherd here, who is himself a sheep. More accurately, he's the lamb. Now this is the amazing thing about Christianity. You have a shepherd who's a lamb. Who's the lamb? That's what this shepherd is, who gives down his, lays down his life for the sheep, and no man takes it. He does it voluntarily. He's lamb. You see, this is so vital for the church of Jesus Christ, which is altogether sheepy, and for the preaching of Jesus Christ, which is altogether necessary. That we preach and that we hear and that we follow the good shepherd, who is the crucified shepherd lamb of God. The book of Revelation reminds us that the ones in heaven, after all, are those, Revelation 14, those who are the ones who follow the lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men. They became Christ's in time through the purchase of the blood. They were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. Don't stumble over the Lamb. Who's the lion? Who's the shepherd? Who's the God of our salvation? The Lamb. And following then is this following the narrow way. Those who follow the Lamb are those who are found so that in their mouth was found no deceit, and they are without fault before the throne of God. Holiness is the way. Following is holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Beautiful. Holy, happy. This should characterize our following. unified in our following, helping one another in our following, hearing the Savior. This shall be 2017. Blessed year of hearing the voice of the shepherd and following him, even though, as is discipleship, it means bearing a cross, following him wherever he goes, whatever the cost, just so he gets the glory. And in that is our peace and our joy. 2017. God bless you, sheep, God's sheep. May the shepherd's voice be heard here. Amen. We pray, dear Lord, that you would bless us and keep us and make your face shine upon us as we hear the voice of the shepherd. We pray to be glad in him. He knows us. It's all we need to know. And as you speak to us, Lord, may we truly have ears to hear. May everyone here have ears to hear. And to follow, Lord, give us faith. Give us courage. Give us the self-denying spirit that we need to be yours and to promote the praise of that one, the great shepherd, who's the Lamb. Amen.